Thank you for joining. I'll be there.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Goldstein, EVP of Member Engagement and Development here at the IAB. Welcome to IAB There, our daily live stream in which we connect the digital advertising ecosystem. On today's show, we're excited to speak with our special guest, Christine McGuire, who's the GM, VP of Global Media Business at TripAdvisor. Christine joined TripAdvisor in a newly created role in April 2019. To lead the company's global media strategy and operations, and to better leverage the company's international consumer demand and to drive revenue through new digital advertising solutions. Today, we are going to be talking about traveling into 2021, actionable insights for your brand journey. Let's bring Christine on the screen and get this conversation going. Hey, Christine, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Cheryl? Happy New Year.
You too. And I'm so glad. Traveling into 2021, we could not get here fast enough, could we?
We really could.
Yeah, speaking of travel, like of all the categories to be in during this pandemic, stay at home, don't go anywhere environment, that one has got to be the toughest. So I'm very curious to hear about how you've been leading the team and what you've been doing, dealing with a property that's so endemic to the travel business. But tell me first a little bit about your role. This is newly created in April 2019. Tell me a little bit about your role and maybe even why the company created a role that was global, leveraging global insights. Give us a little of the background.
Yeah, TripAdvisor has been around for over 20 years and, obviously very well known in the travel space. Lindsay Nelson, the former chief commercial officer of Vox Media, came into TripAdvisor and recognized that we had an immense amount of audience and data, and we weren't leveraging it in the way that she would have at Vox. So she sought out to hire a GM to really run and modernize the business. So I was brought on to, modernize the solutions that we were bringing to market, build full funnel solutions, diversify the business beyond the core endemic performance display business that it had been, and ultimately drive growth and profitability. I came in and it was really exciting. We were going through a brand transformation project. There was so much potential in our audience and the platform and the solutions that we were building. And thankfully in Q1, we were starting to see the fruits of our labor. And then the coronavirus.
And the plane landed, the plane crashed, really. But good that you were starting already to get into non-endemic and and already started exploring other revenue and garnering insights. So before we dive in, I know there's a video that gives a great overview of all that happened last year and things that TripAdvisor was engaged with. Why don't we start with that and then we'll take it from there. So great. Let's roll the video. So very interesting year that you've had involved in so many different things. Let's talk a little bit about what I'm seeing as a huge pivot for this past year, which is that shift to local, which you addressed in the video as well. So suddenly, because of the social, economic, political environment that we face this year, local has never been more important. Suddenly mayors, governors are, on primetime television every day and becoming like celebrities. And brands need to understand the nuances from market to market because COVID is hitting things differently. Social uprising has hit the country differently based on what city or town you're in. So all of these factors have really impacted the world differently based on where you are. TripAdvisor is a great resource for understanding those nuances. How have you helped leverage these local insights for brands and tell us some of the things that you've done, as you mentioned in your video, for local businesses?
Yeah, I mean, to your point, we're obviously a global business, which has complexities in and of itself, different market needs with COVID, different, sequence of how it's ultimately hitting their shores, and then government restrictions and overall trends. So that in and of itself is a challenge, but it also has, you know, a huge benefit. You know, in early January, I was on daily calls with my Asia Pacific team and really understanding what was happening there, and a little bit more prepared for obviously what was to come to the US in late February, early March. And we immediately started to, you know, look at all of our search behavior, launch consumer studies. And, you know, by the end of 2020, we had launched, I think, over 20 different studies spanning 50,000 consumers and did over 50 webinars for our local businesses. So small and medium businesses are a huge part of TripAdvisor's ecosystem. And some of the things that we did was, you know, restaurant relief. So Dining Safe and Love Your Local Initiative, gift card programs. We also did a contactless menu, which I know, you know, safety and cleanliness around menus is a huge focus. So there was a myriad of things that we did across all of our verticals, restaurants, independent hotels. And then we really found in the consumer research as travelers were going back out there in the summer and, you know, going to the great outdoors and beaches, the number one focus was, safety and, you know, supporting your local. So there was a lot of cool campaigns that we were able to launch with brands like Stella, where, you know, people had things planned for 2020 and they weren't able to go domestically or internationally if it wasn't within like their immediate area. So we did a staycation swap where consumers swapped itineraries and then, you know, they explored their local area that normally you don't get to do because everybody's looking to get away. So we really, from a consumer perspective, from a business perspective, and then from a partner perspective, we really leaned into the local aspect.
Yeah, I can see that. And amazing how innovative everyone, you know, gets out of necessity. Like listening just to the things that you were able to do that you probably wouldn't even have thought to do if it were business as usual. What are some of the other things that you've done? Like you said, some non-endemic partners that were leveraging your platform. Other examples of that?
Yeah. In Asia Pacific, actually in Q4, we launched a collaboration with Tesla and New South Wales. So number one, Tesla never markets with paid budgets. They don't need to. They have a great marketing channel. You can see with them being the highest growth in the stock market. But we partnered with the destination for travelers to ultimately take road trips and get back out there in a safe and sustainable way. We featured, you know, trip itineraries, articles full of recommendations and safety trips, and then we're able to give back a trip as a sweepstake. So there's been, you know, a myriad across auto, spirits, CPG, if you think about the focus on cleaning, Clorox, Lysol, all the big brands that have, you know, done really well this year, right through to tech, finance, and insurance. In EMEA, like people are traveling all the time for quick weekend trips internationally, and annual insurance is something that is a normal thing that people are purchasing. In the US, it's upon your transaction. But this year, flexibility in booking travel and in booking campaigns has been the number one focus. And, you know, really leaning into the fact that people want flexibility if they're booking upfront for 2021 is something that we see as a huge opportunity. And then, you know, the big banks and credit cards are very leaned into supporting small and medium businesses. And there's a lot of angles and channels that we have to help them distribute there.
That's awesome. And how do you manage your selling team through something like this? So if I were a travel salesperson and had a lofty goal and suddenly travel came to a halt, I would, you know, be like, oh my God, you know, what do I do now? How did you manage your team through all this? Obviously you got creative, looked for, you know, new revenue sources as a sales leader. You know, what were some of your challenges and how did you keep your team focused and, you know, hanging in there?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I kicked off 2020 in such a strong way. Q1 was looking strong, and it was a focused business strategy that we were executing on. And in April, March, April, we had to pivot, and I personally had to take a step back and be vulnerable. I had to, you know, lead with empathy and agility. And normally I'm a very focused, outcome-oriented business leader. So that was not something that was comfortable for me, but it's something that I knew I had to do for my global team, especially given all of the changes that were coming to them, both from a cut perspective and, you know, client personally, the whole thing. So that was at the beginning of the pandemic, but you know, what other publishers can do to pivot to other categories that are doing well wasn't something that like we had the luxury to do as much, because we were in the early phases of really getting the non-endemic story out there. Huge opportunity, but we were at the very early stages of it. So in the second half, I, you know, reoriented the team around team goals. I eliminated leaderboards. I focused on the qualitative wins, a lot of consistent communication, so everybody knew what was going on. And then it was interesting, by the end of the year, I listened a lot and adjusted where I needed to. And I brought leaderboards back by the end of the year and brought awards back. And, you know, each phase of this pandemic has been so different. And I don't think it's sort of like, you know, a set at once and leave it like that. You have to continuously iterate. And the things that I'm hearing and what I'm doing now in 2021, again, are adjustments. So, listening, having fireside chats, making sure that there's all forms of open communication, and then adjustments on my part from a leadership perspective to make sure that we're retaining the team and we're all here to take full advantage of the pent-up demand for travel that we know will be realized in the near future.
Yeah, those are great tips, because I think one thing we've all really learned this year, and I hear from a lot of sales leaders, is you have to meet people where they are, because not everyone was in the same situation to handle this as well either, because there were people that had kids, and now it's not just I'm a travel, you know, salesperson in a struggling category, but I've got to homeschool two little kids, and I'm working in a small apartment, and my husband's home, and, you know, et cetera. So it's all of those things. So having that empathy and meeting people where they are and saying, how can I help you do your job? And I love the idea that you created more of a we're all in this together team focus. Like, how can we help each other so that one person who does have some of those accounts, Lysol, et cetera, that we're like, hey, this is a great opportunity for us, versus others like United Airlines that's not going anywhere right now. You know, at least the team is helping each other and you're all in it together. I think those are great strategies. So one more thing I wanted to ask you, but, you know, the Section 230 threat that we hear out there, hopefully that'll go with Donald Trump, but who knows? You know, he started a little bit of a firestorm around this, and your property is so dependent on people posting comments, making recommendations. I know I've really benefited a lot from hearing what people had to say about places in when I'm planning my travel. What is your take on Section 230? And is your team involved in educating lawmakers around the impact of this going away? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, as you know, we're known for our raw, authentic, unfiltered feedback on the realities of destinations and hotels and flights. And, you know, our travelers benefit from that and the integrity and the quality of our content moderation. And Section 230 is a legal basis for ours and other platforms' content moderation work. Any change to that will have broad impacts on the internet well beyond us, and should be, you know, subject to full policymaking process. We're really eager and a really constructive participant in this debate currently. We are actually part of the Internet Works Coalition that's evaluating the voice of other industry leaders as one unified voice to Congress, including Etsy and Pinterest and Reddit, to promote the benefits of Section 230 for the internet ecosystem. And the reality is, if it's done wrong, changes to Section 230 could mean things like more fraudulent reviews and UGC and a less transparent travel marketplace, which is not what anybody wants.
Yeah, I agree. And for those who don't know what Section 230 is, it's protection for platforms and publishers from being responsible for everything that's posted. And, you know, the focus has really been Facebook, Twitter, but it impacts, you know, way beyond that. So reviews and being able to comment on something would all be part of something that could go away if suddenly the publishers are responsible for vetting everything that people post. So fingers crossed. I think maybe there needs to be some guidelines around this stuff, perhaps, but I do think it would be disastrous for the user if we weren't able to, you know, keep Section 230. So you mentioned a little bit about travel coming back. Is it coming back in 2021? What is your indicators, data, insights? I know that people, once the vaccine got announced, that there was, I know, just from people I know, they were booking trips for the end of the year, early 2022, because they can get incredible deals now, like their dream trip. It was almost like, I haven't been able to go anywhere, so I'm taking the trip of a lifetime because I can. Are you seeing that in terms of traction on your site, what people are doing, where they're going?
Yes, 100%. I mean, there's a lot of trends that we saw happen in 2020 that we also infer that they're going to happen in 2021 as well. Like, restaurants almost got back to 2019 levels in the summer of 2020, which is huge, right? Like, that's the first thing that people want to do, is get back out there and meet people and not have to cook their own, you know, meals, right, 7 days a week. We saw Europe actually, you know, almost get back to 2019 levels in the summer as well. And, you know, then took the most drastic dip once all of the lockdowns happened at the end of the year. But there's so many signals that we have that pent-up demand for travel is real. Through the lockdown, there's consumers that are really hungry for travel content to get inspiration and you know, help fill that void that they currently can't travel. And you know, there's a lot of discretionary spending happening because so much of you know, people's budgets are going to travel every year. And this year, I know you and I have talked about it in the past, but revenge spending is real.
Revenge spending, yeah.
And it's, you know, it's exciting for this year. You have some money to spend on other things, but in 2021, the need for human interaction, the need to see something outside of the four walls of your house or your local area, is definitely a theme that we see happening in the second half. We think it's still going to be heavily domestic focused, a real focus on safety. Leisure will be the first to come back. We know that no matter where you are in the world and what income bracket, like the reality of a family trip, a girls trip is the first priority. But business travel has changed forever. We know conferences and things that really fuel some of the destinations, P&Ls are challenged and will be challenged for a long time, given the fact that we've accelerated the virtual meeting with the Zoom and podcast that we're on right now. But the first business travel that we do expect to come back is client meetings. You know, a great example for, you know, my circumstance, I was traveling the entire month of January and February in 2020. And I would have been traveling the entire year because I was meeting, I was new to TripAdvisor and I was meeting new clients. So the face-to-face, you can't put a price on, especially when you don't have built rapport with those clients. So that's the first level of business travel that we expect to come back, team get-togethers, all of the culture and morale building. And then we, you know, there definitely will be a shift in what business travel looks like long-term. But what we know is that travel's resilient. We have 2/3 of our respondents of our latest consumer study that are saying the second that they can travel safely, they will be in 2021.
And what does travel safely mean? What do you think the airlines or companies need to do for people to feel safe? You know, is it just mandatory masks? Is it having a seat in between? Is it making sure the vaccine is pervasive enough so that, you know, there's that herd mindset of that, okay, it's unlikely I'm going to get it now because so many people have been vaccinated. What do you think people are waiting for to feel that comfort level?
Yeah, I think it's a mix of all, right? I think part of it is absolutely the vaccine and the CDC guidelines and making sure that that's being followed. I think a big aspect will be people you know or people like you and platforms like TripAdvisor that's trusted that you go and you see what kind of protocols the flight or restaurant or hotel has in place and what people are saying about that. So you know what, because people are very quick to give great reviews and to give bad reviews, and you can quickly decipher whether it's somewhere where you'll personally feel safe. And then travel tools that we've launched. So we have 165,000, I think at this point, global businesses that have signed up to Travel Safe, which is you know, tools and protocols that they can actually flag themselves on our platform on what they're doing to make sure that the experience is safe. There's a lot of research that we expect to go into travel in 2021 and beyond. And TripAdvisor is obviously the paramount place to do all of that research.
That's gonna be like another whole new rating system, you know, like COVID compliant rating, you know, 1 through 5, 5-star, you know, they clean the room, they give you a mask, they don't let anybody, 1-star, people were walking around without masks. I think that's gonna be, you're right, I think a whole new way that people are gonna evaluate where they go and the feedback they're going to look for from travelers.
Yeah, we've always had
a clean, safe.
Yeah, we've always had a focus on safety. Like, you know, is it a safe place to go? Has there ever been any break-ins or burglaries? Or what's the city like? But this is a different level of safety. So, the focus and the way that we'll continuously enhance our tools to make sure that our travelers have everything they need to feel safe is our number one priority.
Yeah, that's so, it's like a whole new, you know, way of thinking about travel, safety having a whole new meaning. And so what are some of your predictions for 2021? What are some of the things that you think, you know, all indicators are that, you know, you've mentioned some, you know, restaurants, of course, we're praying that those come back sooner rather than later. Anything, any other insights, things that you've learned from other countries that we can expect to see here? Anything concerning that comes up when you're looking at some of the data and trends or things that people are searching for?
No, I think if I speak from a brand lens, again, we did 20 different studies over 50,000 consumers and one of the most valuable trends that we saw that was that consumer insights are showing that they're watching brands, right? 95% of consumers say brands focus more on positive communications during this time is going to have a long-term impact on their relationship with that brand. And, you know, messaging and creative obviously are critical in that, but I also think, getting ahead of the rebound is critical, both in, educating what your brand is doing and how you should be getting out there safely, right through to how can you make people still engage with your brand despite all of the challenges. And AlkBev is a really good example of that. We've always worked with various partners focused on restaurants, but when you're not on premises, you're off premises, and you have a different experience with your spirits and your beers. How can we create an experience that makes, you know, the wines, the beers, the ready to go drinks still top of mind as a brand? So when you do get back out there, perception has changed, and your relationship with that brand has changed. And that's one thing we've seen consistently is any brand that's stayed live and had the opportunity to continue to invest does have a leap forward beyond any others, because they're continuously messaging and relevant in this time. Also, you know, relief initiatives, give backs, all huge aspects to build your brand and make sure that you're making the most of the time and giving back to the less fortunate.
And so you're leading to my little wrap up section here, where I always ask people like these words of wisdom: what should brands stop doing? What should they start doing? So we already got one good one from you, is like, don't not advertise or promote or put your brand out there. You know, even if your planes, trains, automobiles aren't going a lot of places, promote, build, keep that relationship going, stay front and center, and think about ways that you can help and give back. Are there any other things that you would tell brands that they should perhaps stop doing, things they should start doing, things that you've seen successful with some of your clients, or things that you hear and garner from all these insights?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting. I think pre-pandemic, you had, and you know this, Cheryl, from your Yahoo days, like, brands come to you with their plan, what they want to do. I think if 2020 showed us anything, that there's a general openness for, you know, consultative options, recommendations, things that were, you know, publishers, platforms are seeing in the data and how that ultimately should inform media strategies. So, you know, I would say, to, you know, obviously plan. We've seen shorter booking windows. We've seen, you know, a lot of pivots to more of the flexible media formats, but really leveraging, you know, the data and insights to fuel content strategies and ways that you're ultimately going to show up in 2021 is, I think, the number one focus, and doing that with as much flexibility as you possibly can. So the timing, the messaging, the creative, everything is as relevant as it possibly can be. We're constantly giving feedback to our advertisers because we still have a lot of endemic advertisers live, thankfully, on where we don't believe the creative or the messaging is right, where it's not going to be right for our audience, how we should adjust things, what we would recommend in the distribution plan. So that's, you know, for brands, I think that they should really make sure that they're leveraging the immense amount of data that their partners have to make sure that they're best informed and they're leveraging their platform in the best way possible.
Yeah, that's great. And that's also, I think, a great words of wisdom for sales leaders. You know, are you providing your partners the kind of insights and direction and consultative selling, or are you just, they asked for this, so this is what we're giving them? And better to be that consultant and advise them and leverage, you know, your platform, you know, your audience better. They know their brand and they know what they're trying to do, but you know your audience and know your platform. So any last other words of wisdom for sales leaders before we have to part ways?
No, I think this year for sales leaders, for you know, organizations with direct sales forces in general, are going to go through a massive amount of change. Things will continuously be virtual, more automated, and you know, the enablement and learning and development aspects of what was enterprise sales will really change. So I've got a pretty robust plan for 2021 on where I believe I need to continue to invest in the sales team and making sure that we're doing everything we possibly can to be the best partners we can. But I think that's the number one focus, is we can't just leverage our relationships anymore. There, it goes well beyond that, given the accelerated change and the need for consultative recommendations with the consistent change that we're seeing, and hopefully will be a good thing in 2021.
Christine McGuire, thank you so much. What a great conversation. And, you know, here's to good things happening in 2021. Your insights, your leadership, your support, your involvement with the IAB, all greatly appreciated. So thank you for being here today, and we will see you again soon.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thanks for having me.
IAB There is a production of the Interactive Advertising Bureau. Our show today was produced by Connor Healy, Joe Auntz, John Ward, and I'm Cheryl Goldstein. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you soon.
IAB's next big event is ALM, the annual leadership meeting running the week of March 8th. To find out more, visit www.iab.com/events. We'll see you there.